Thank you very much, Levi. And just to reiterate what Levi said, it sounds like there's some tools coming around. I know lots of kids in our house that like tools that need to be put in very high places. So if there are tools, if there are kids or other people that would like to get some tools, you can. Now, can you remind me, what is it that we're writing on the tools? Is it a word or is it something that stands out from what I'm saying, is it? Great. So you might need to have your listening ears on and see if you can listen out for some words beginning with P, although they're quite big ones. But any word would do. Now, those were some pretty big knots. How did this group get their knot out, did they? Oh. Oh, well done. And what about this group? I didn't quite sort of catch that, yeah? Oh, well done. Very good. Very good. Now that you've got your... You know what those knots were representing? Those knots were actually representing a fishing net. A fishing net. Like, you know, if you've got a fishing net and it's all tangled up and you had to get the knots out. That's what that was all about. And so now that you've got your knots out, you're now ready to go and catch some fish. How does that sound? Now, we're speaking a little about fishing, and we've got quite a few fish-loving people here amongst us. So what are some of the things that need to be done after you've gone fishing to get ready for the next fishing trip? Who's got some ideas? What's that? Clean it. What are you going to clean? Yep, you're going to clean the nets. Yep, if you go with a net. Who goes fishing with a net? Anyone here? Yep, there's some people there. Oh, excellent. White baiting counts, doesn't it? Yep. Yeah, well, that's sort of fish, aren't they? What else needs to be done? Yes. You're probably... Oh, well done. You're doing not too bad then. About the same as me. So you probably have to do something with the hooks. What things need to be done after you go fishing to get ready for the next time? Clean the boat. Clean the net. Save up for the fuel. Mend the net. Eat the fish, definitely. Scale the fish. Oh, you want to gut them? Yep. Skin them. Yes, yes, you've got to organise your bait, that's right. You might want to think about where you went fishing and how successful you were, whether you could have gone to a different place. You've got to plan the tides, the weather, all sorts of stuff. Probably wash your clothes. Have you got an idea, Ezra? What else do you need to do? Clean the fish. You don't want to eat dirty fish, do you? Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. Well, I'm not so much of a fish-loving person, though. I mean, I like eating it, and I'm quite happy to take the chance to go fishing if I'm given it. But I'm not someone that will particularly go out fishing just by myself. However, I do really like mountain biking. The worst thing about mountain biking, though, for me, is that when you get back from a ride, you've got to clean your bike. And I don't like doing that because it's just a bit of a hassle trying to get in there, all the little gears, and clean it all out, get rid of all the grime and the grease and the build-up of dirt and all that sort of stuff. But if you don't do that, then the parts actually don't work as well, and the gears don't change as well. And the worst part is, as I have recently discovered, again, that it wears the parts out and they have to be replaced. And that is not that cool because it costs more money and things like that. Washing mountain bikes, not that good. What do you do that is important to you that needs preparation? What do you like doing that needs preparation? Well, in our Bible passage this morning, we'll read about some fishermen who had been out all night and they'd caught nothing and they were cleaning and preparing their nets for the next trip out. Despite the lack of income or food, they were faithfully ensuring that they were ready to catch something next time. And so they put in the hard work at the water's edge. to give themselves every opportunity of success. Now we read about this in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. Jesus was getting squeezed in on. He was walking along the beach. He was telling people the good news about God's love, and he was getting pressed in on. He was doing that what he was called to do, that what he thought was important. But he was being crowded out. What was Jesus going to do? Well, first of all, Jesus notices the potential. Two empty boats. The boat provided a platform for the good news that he was sharing. The boat enabled God's heart to continue to be revealed. That good news is here, that Jesus loves and saves and gives life. The boat was an everyday item found in the context of life for Jesus and the people he shared life with. And the thing is, boats weren't extraordinary things. But that tells us something about God, because God really is and hardly ever uses and chooses the extraordinary. Rather, it seems that God always wants to be using the simple and the plain and the ordinary in the everyday. And he takes these things and he uses them for his purposes, for his mission, for all people to know him and love him and other people. There's this ad on TV at the moment, and I quite like it. Have you seen it? It's the one where there's two older guys, and they've obviously come out of, I don't know, having a meal with the family or something like that, and they notice a bunch of young guys in a car. You know where this is? You know the ad? And the guys have always been drinking way too much. You know, you guys know what that is. Well, I'm going to sort of work through with this ad a little bit here. But effectively what it is, the guys have, it's like how Jesus uses these boats. There's this potential in the boats to do what is good. And these old guys, they use this boat of being out for a drink or out with their families or whatever it is. And they are aware of those who are around them. These two guys, these two older guys, they're aware of others around them. We'll come back to that. What are our boats? What are our everyday places or things that can be used as a platform for revealing Jesus to the world around us? Well, instead of me just asking all these questions, because I've got a few rhetorical, although you can answer if you want, I've got a few questions for us today. I thought, well, I'll do a little bit of thinking myself. So I did a bit of a brainstorm about my boats, you know, and maybe this will trigger some thoughts about what your boats are. Platforms for revealing Jesus to the world around us. So here's some of mine. Kindy teachers and parents and children. Especially making time to when I'm dropping kids off or at events that they have to be there. School teachers and parents and children. I'm on the board of trustees at the primary school, so I have a huge say in a range of things that decide matters affecting people's lives and their education. Another boat I have is where I choose to spend my money, particularly around food and drink. I try to go to the same places, the same couple of places, the tea house or the petrol station, to build connections there. Tennis, triathlon, Harriers, running club, the mountain biking club, and prioritising those times, and especially the social times within these or after these. Helping stack firewood or build a fence with neighbours. at playgrounds with parents and grandparents or caregivers like the Russian girl on Monday. Beach at Five has enabled us to invite some friends to a fun, safe place with others. An introduction to Jesus course called Christianity Explored will be a boat being launched later in May. And perhaps we could be considering if there's somebody we could invite to go along with to that. So it's a course that we're going to be running. So it's not something I'm doing, but I'm thinking about. Another boat would be at home reading the Jesus storybook with my kids and talking about who God is and talking with God with my children, because they need Jesus revealed to them too. Those are some of my boats. What would be your boats? What and where are your platforms for revealing Jesus to those around you? So Jesus is being pressed on by all these people that are wanting to hear him. He notices a boat on the shore and he pushes it out from the water's edge to create a platform for continuing to reveal God to the people. We read in our passage next that the boats were empty, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. See, Jesus sees the preparations, washing the nets. Our second point, the preparations, washing the nets. Despite Peter and the fishermen not catching anything during their late night shift that had just finished, the fishermen were still investing their time and energy preparing to be able to catch fish next time. It could be washing or mending their nets that they were doing. We don't really know. Whether they enjoyed this aspect of their occupation or not, they knew that without being prepared, their goal would not be achievable. And going back to our ad with these two older guys stopping the younger guys from drink driving, I heard this week on the radio that there's this competition out sparked by this ad. I think I was listening to Radio Sport trying to see if there was any cricket on, and I just came across this ad. And it was encouraging people to text in to this number a one-liner that they could use. A one-liner of what they could, of what they would say to try to stop somebody drink driving. And I really liked that idea, and I actually stopped and paused and I actually thought about what I would say to someone in that situation. And what I really liked about this was that it was encouraging people to prepare, to think ahead, to have something to say in the situations that they find themselves in. And if part of living for Jesus is sharing this incredible love with other people, then we need to be prepared. The Apostle Peter, who was one of his boats that Jesus used, a few years later, he said in his first letter in chapter 3, he says this, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everybody who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Always be prepared to give an answer for the reason for the hope that you have. So how is your preparation? Are there things in your life that you know are holding you back from living life well? Could it be that washing your nets means washing away a particular sin? Or could it be working on an area of weakness that keeps tripping you up and getting some help with that? Or could preparing could it be that preparing your nets means doing something to help you keep learning, perhaps with a group or some reading of your own? Or could it be that preparing your nets means doing some further formal study, either in an area related to an interest that you have or a hobby or an area of work within your workplace, or in biblical studies or in theology through Kerry? Just to do a little slot on there for Kerry. I mean, they've got courses on their website. They always have courses on the website. In this semester, they have topics such as Christian spirituality, leadership, marketplace Christianity, i.e. living out our faith in our workplaces, topics of the mission of God, pastoral care, the Spirit and Trinity, all sorts of things that are very fascinating and would be very deepening for our faith. Like Peter preparing his nets at the water's edge after a fruitless night shift, do we see the importance of washing or mending our nets before we continue to give witness to the love of God with those around us? So going back to our text, Jesus is being pressed in on by crowds of people. He notices two empty boats at the water's edge for the fishermen were washing their nets. Jesus then steps into Peter's boat. The potential, two empty boats, the preparations, washing the nets, the presence, stepping into the boat. This boat is transformed from an ordinary boat into a vessel of grace and truth. Peter, too, is soon transformed into a fisher of people. The presence of Jesus is what changes situations. The presence of Jesus is what changes people. See, Jesus takes the ordinary and he infuses it with the divine. It's like ordinary water when you've been drinking it all day, suddenly being infused with strawberry and lemon and basil to transform it into a healthy, hydrating, homemade refreshment. Jesus can transform us. Jesus infuses us and can change situations. And the thing is, Jesus is already present in our lives if we believe in him and love him, isn't he? And so wherever we are and whatever we're doing, there too is the presence of Jesus by his Spirit. We don't have to ask for Jesus to come with us or to be with us, because he is. That's what it means to be a Christian, Christ in us. And it tells us that there is no person and no situation beyond the reach of Jesus. In what ways do you see the presence of Jesus in your contexts? And how can you push your boat out into the water to join Jesus where he is? And that takes us to our last little bit. The practice. Pushing it out into the water. The potential with the boats is there. The preparations of washing the nets are done. The disturbing and yet comforting presence of Jesus is with us. But it's not meant to stay that way, is it? Jesus could have stayed close to the shore and everybody would have felt great, content and comfortable. But Jesus called to Peter to move out to where the fish are, to put all that preparation into work. And thinking about our ad with the older guys, they pushed the boat out as well. They didn't just notice that there was a need from the context that they were in. They weren't just prepared with something to say and to say, hey, look, you know, I know your mum, now our fates are combined, or whatever it is exactly they say. But they actually push the boat out into the water. They offer to drive them safely home. Listening to, what is it, yodeling music or something. Yeah. You know, and we each have experiences and skills which we use in everyday things we do. We all have at least some equipping. And so in your life so far, in what ways can you see God has prepared you for your part in his mission? This is not something new. We don't have to all of a sudden download all this information. It is within us, within our life experiences. How, in what ways can you see God has prepared you for your part in his mission? And perhaps it's a love for a particular thing or a particular hobby or a particular aspect of work or a group of people. There's something, there's things that we all enjoy. And most often that's how God works, through those things that we particularly love. Or is it some skills that have been developed that really help people, that make a difference in people's lives? Lots of us have those. Or is it a willingness to be real about life and struggles and the difference that God has made in our life? I think that is something we can all offer. How have you pushed out from the water's edge with prepared nets to join Jesus in his mission? Because I suggest we have all done that in some way. This doesn't have to be a new thing. But I guess here's the challenge as well. That are you and God on the same page regarding your partnership with God in his mission? Are we responding to God's invitations to follow him in the ways that he wants us to? And if you are, that's fantastic. Keep at it. Even when the fish aren't being caught. Just like Peter. But maybe if the partnership isn't fully aligned there, as God may want it, what are the risks if you were to step out and push that boat out into the water some more? And what are the risks if you don't push the boat out? Jesus can transform our everyday activities into part of his mission, especially when we're prepared. Let's pray. Thank you, God. We have so much to be thankful for. And I want to thank you for the ways that you have shaped us and the ways that you have impacted our lives. Thank you for the people and the experiences and the opportunities that we've had that have shaped us. And thank you that you have used these for your purposes, which are good. You've used people in our lives, you've used opportunities, you've used experiences. Thank you for the ways in which you're using us in your mission now. Thank you for the boats that we have, platforms for revealing you more. Please help us to continue to be faithful and seeing potential and preparing and in knowing your transforming presence. And may we take risks to push out once again or for the first time to join you. And that can be really scary, God. We acknowledge that. But may we be a risk-taking people when it comes to actions that are close to your heart. Thank you, God. Amen.